This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I am Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. Think that you're in a tough business? Face volatile prices? Well, there is probably one sector that has faced even more challenging times in recent weeks, and that is the oil and gas industry. Prices for crude oil have plunged in the last few days. So in the studio today, we have Tan Kay Vin, Executive Director of T7 Global Berhad, a listed Malaysian oil and gas company, to tell us their plans for growth even during these difficult times. Let's start with a bit of history, because T7 Global Berhad used to be Tanjung Offshore, which was embroiled in a fraud and money laundering allegations about 5 years ago. Is this today a completely new company with new management?
Since 2015-16, we have had new shareholders, namely Dato Sri Nick and also Tan Sri Tan as our chairman and deputy chairman, respectively. They have since then entered and rebranded the whole company into T7 Global. Since then, we have introduced various new services into the company and also diversified into the aerospace industry. In 2016, we had a huge cleanup of the company to ensure to have a good start from since then.
But essentially, you're still involved in the oil and gas, right? So tell me, what is T7's focus in that space? What assets do you have?
Our main business is still oil and gas. We are mainly a light asset company. We mainly focus in operation and maintenance as our main business. We also provide other services such as underwater subsea services, well decommissioning, manpower recruitment services. So we are in wide range of oil and gas across the oil and gas value chain, mainly focusing on upstream businesses.
And staying on the oil and gas business, right, you have a current order book of 900 million ringgit, am I correct?
We have had a slight update on that.
Okay,
so since the recent contract we received last month. Right now, our newest order book is 1.7 billion.
Oh, and what was the new job win then?
So we've recently secured MOPU. This is I would like to highlight that this is the second MOPU that our group has secured. This MOPU is a 10 years lease from Petronas, where we have to construct our own MOPU. It will take us 27 months to construct the MOPU, and then after that, we will have to operate and maintain for Petronas for the next 10 years in the Sarawak waters.
And a MOPU is a mobile offshore production unit, right?
Sorry, yes.
Now, I understand you're bidding for as much as $3 billion worth of jobs. You know, what do you think your success rate is going to be, or what has it been in the past to give us an indication of how much more your order book can grow?
Well, we set a fairly high target for our team. In the past year since the new management, We have had a success rate of almost 20-30% across all tenders or projects that we go for.
What is in your horizon at this moment? Is it mainly jobs in Malaysia, or are you looking beyond Malaysia?
Our main focus is still in Malaysia, whereas we being one of the pioneer maintenance service provider in the country, so we can see despite the drop in oil price, Petronas is still has been still gradually increasing their capex spending. In fact, this year Petronas target to spend up to 50 billion. So this is a very good opportunity for service providers like us, where there will be more opportunity for us. This is just based on Petronas itself. We haven't mentioned about all the other oil producing companies such as Shell, Repsol in the country, which so our focus is still mainly in Malaysia. Further than that, we have also have presence in Thailand, in Vietnam, and also Australia, where we are actively pursuing jobs and projects there as well.
Okay, and since you mentioned oil prices, let's have a little bit of a discussion there, because we did see, and we are still seeing, oil prices really plummeting after the failure of OPEC Plus talks. While, of course, there has been weak demand as a result of COVID-19. So my question to you is, how low can oil prices go? Have we reached the bottom?
I think it's a question everyone wants to know the answer. So, well, in my opinion, I think this is not something new to us. It will be a very challenging year for all the oil and gas industry. A direct hit will be mainly for all the oil producing companies, such as Shell, Repsol, for example. However, if we see recently, since 2014 to 16, we've also seen the oil price went as low as how it is today. So since then, I believe, I know that most companies that are still in the game today are already well equipped for crises like this. T7, as a maintenance contractor ourselves, we believe in the short to mid term, we will have not much impact, because how T7 nature of business, we tend to receive long-term contracts, 3 to 5 years contract. Just to give you an example, we received in January 5 years MCM, maintenance, construction and modification contract from Repsol to maintain all their oil and gas assets in the country for the next 5 years. So these are some of the example, and also MOPOL. So we know that in the short to mid-term, all our jobs are pre-planned, the budgets are already approved by the oil, our client. So we know that in the mid to short term, we should be able to sustain ourselves in the coming years.
The issue I have is, okay, fine, maybe they have committed to spend for 1 year, but the oil majors. But if really oil prices remain low for a prolonged period, won't they be cutting back on their capex? And in turn, wouldn't it be a challenge for you to grow your order book? I mean, if I'm an oil major, right, and I see oil prices where they are for more than a year, I'm not sure I'll be willing to spend any capex.
I agree. Of course, like I mentioned, mid to short term, we basically got ourselves covered. Well, if you look at our order book, 1.7 billion, assuming of a burn rate of 200 million per year, we will still last us roughly 8 to 9 years without additional contracts. So I believe with the recent achievement we have in oil and gas, and also with all the track record that we have performed recently, we see a huge, it's the best proof we have as an oil and gas provider. Further than that, we see the aerospace factory has started to be operational earlier this year. This will definitely contribute positively to the group as well.
Okay, Kevin, I'm going to come back to your aerospace business. But let's just return back to the oil and gas, because I want to ask, do you think you will then see margin compression for future contracts? Because we do know that Petronas, in their activity outlook for 2020 and 2022, yes, they have put up a budgeted capex of about 50 billion ringgit for every year. But they also caution in that outlook that cost management is key. And this was even before oil prices fell. So won't they put pressure on all their contractors?
Yes, I agree. Definitely, our margin will get squeezed. Our future tenders or contracts that we will go for will definitely be a tough one.
Because your current net...
We as a 30-year-old oil and gas service provider, we are constantly improving ourselves, looking for smart partnerships. I would like to highlight one of the new services that we provide in 2018 that we introduced, the subsea and underwater services. For example, we have introduced a mini robot known as ROV, Remotely Operational Vehicle. These are some of the innovative solutions that we offer to the market right now. compared to the convention methods of using the human divers and plus the lift boats, which are much more costly. These are some of the examples we introduced to the market, and hopefully it will provide the oil majors more cost-effective solution to embrace times like this.
So will we actually then see an improvement of your current net margins from the 5% levels?
I believe, yes. We are confident that we will have better margins in the coming years.
Okay, which leads me to your next point, because you did mention it, this cost reduction program, right? It was already highlighted in your 2018 annual report, where it was stated that the aim is to transform T7 Global into a leaner organization. But when I compare margins from 2019 versus that of 2018, it was the same. There wasn't any change.
So I would like to highlight... Yes, in the accounting books, maybe yes, it does seem that way. But if another case, if you look at it, is part of it is because the majority of the overhead are from our aerospace investment for the past 2 years. So in fact, our efforts that maybe we trying to cut down from the oil and gas side may be overtaken by these aerospace expenses, which of course we don't foresee this to continue, as we have already completed phase one of our aerospace construction. So in the future we will start seeing more and more cost reduction from the group.
And when you talk about your margins, right, because your chairman has said that he won't compete on pricing. And in fact, he said that your T7 has walked away from jobs. But with brand prices so low, I don't see how some players or some of your competition won't be throwing prices just to stay afloat. So how are you going to manage that kind of situation? Would you rather walk away from jobs or win order book?
I would say, of course, our main target is not to walk away from any job. If the job is we have the capability to do, we will not walk away from it. But of course, times like this, we need to be cautious on the job. If the margins are too tight, and we have to be selective.
This is The Breakfast Grill, and we are speaking to Tan Kay Vin, Executive Director of T7 Global Berhad. In a moment, there are plans for diversification, but is the sky the right place? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, this is The Breakfast Grill, and we are speaking to Tan Kay Vin, Executive Director of T7 Global Berhad. Just a moment ago, we were talking about the low oil prices, and does this automatically mean bad times ahead for this company? Now, Kay Vin, I want to pivot literally to the aerospace industry. I know you spent 50 million ringgit on a plant in Surrender, but why this business and what's the synergy with oil and gas?
Traditionally, T7 started off as an engineering service company. So similarly, in oil and gas, one of the most important features is safety, and it's very highly regulated and it's very stringent. So this is very similar in the aerospace, where safety, highly regulation and stringent is definitely a must in that industry. So this is, I believe, is a no stranger to us. Further to that, we don't enter this industry as a new kid in the block. We have also went on and set up a joint venture with a UK aerospace company, namely QGO Aerospace Group. So some may ask, who is QGO? Why did we select QGO as a partner? So QGO Group is a 50-year-old third generation family run company. So they have specialized in aerospace component manufacturing. They cover all three services such as machining, precision machining, metal surface treatment, and also sub-assembly services. So we believe that, you know, with our strong engineering background in the oil and gas, we are able to reskill and transform ourselves very easily into the aerospace industry.
Kevin, I mean, other than the fact that you say this is highly regulated and, you know, requires high safety standards, I mean, do you really have the deep pockets and also maybe the sophisticated technology know-how which is required in the aerospace industry? Partially, I ask this question is because your relationship with Kilgo is just an MOU, right? So who's actually running this business?
Oh, in fact, just an update. I think we have gone more than just an MOU. In fact, we have already set up a joint venture company. Our factory was started since 2016. And in fact, just a brief timeline, 2016, we completed the construction. 2018, we completed the construction. 2019, we went and get all the licenses and accreditations from all the aerospace majors. And just of last month, we have already started operational. In fact, we are already treating and servicing some of the airplane parts we are flying today.
So what is your stake versus Kilgo Metals, which is your partner? What is the percentage you own?
Seven holds 60%. Kilgo Group, as our technical partner, holds 40%.
So ultimately, you are still in control?
Yes.
Then what are your expectations of revenue or even profit contribution?
Our target this year is 12 million revenue. We foresee, as we know, we have just started out. This is our first year operational, so we set it a fairly conservative number. So 12 million is our target this year. In the future, we will plan to introduce more shift, hire more, train more people, and we expect we can reach up to a max. For the phase one, we can reach up to the maximum capacity of up to 50 million ringgit a year.
But have you won any jobs as of today?
Yes, we are producing, in fact, not producing, we are servicing or treating some of the flying parts right now.
So what is your current order book for the aerospace industry then?
It is still quite minimal compared to the group. As you know, we've just started. So we have just received two small contracts, roughly less than 10 million.
And what kind of internal rate of return are you expecting from the aerospace industry, especially after you've already pumped in 50 million ringgit? When can you break even?
Our group set the target break even about three years. And our IRR, we foresee a double-digit IRR.
Low teens?
Mid-teens.
Mid-teens, okay. And I'm just curious, whose idea was it to venture into this aerospace industry? Was it yours? Because you're the second generation in this business, right? As your father, Tan Sri Tan Kian Soon, is the executive deputy chairman and also the largest shareholder. So was this your idea?
Yes. In fact, I'm the one that went to start this business.
And what was the logic behind it?
Part of it, we started off this idea in 2015-16, during the oil crisis, where we faced a huge drop in the oil prices. That is where we see that maybe we can't be putting all eggs in one basket. So since then, our board have mandated myself and some of our team members to explore new industry. So one of the more interesting, I would say the more potential industry is aerospace. So what we see in this is the long-term stability that this industry can provide to us.
It's just that when I look at the aviation industry and also the headwinds they're facing now with COVID-19, and there's lots of planes grounded, a lot of airline companies facing tough times, I would think that aviation is not an automatic choice to kind of diversify away from the volatility that comes with oil and gas, right?
Yes, I guess this COVID-19 has hit us. Everyone is surprised by it, and also nobody knows the extent of it, whether it will finish, it will be better soon, or it's just going to get worse. So, of course, traveling bans is what we hear very common these days. Ultimately, this will hit the aerospace industry, especially for us in the manufacturing side. I can only say this is something, it has to be a world effort to contain such issues. We know that the order book from the primes such as Airbus and Boeing is there. We know that the manufacturing capacity, the supply chain in the aerospace needs to be enhanced. Just that, unfortunately, this COVID-19 has taken everyone on hold. So we hope that, you know, with the world's effort, this issue will be resolved soon. And once this issue is resolved, I'm sure everything will go back to normal and the business will go back to normal.
I understand that there's also a corporate exercise that's been planned, a private placement of up to 10% new shares. Is it still going on with the recent volatility of T7 share price on the back of also the plunging oil prices? And I want to ask, if I was a potential shareholder, tell me why I should consider it at all. Because admittedly, your stock isn't one of the larger oil and gas names. Market capitalization of less than 200 million ringgit. Okay, not very expensive valuations, but no yield. So why should I take up the placement?
Currently, about 7% have been taken up, and also the remaining one we also have the takers, and we will aim to complete that in the next couple of weeks. I would say T7, our nature of business, we do long term contracts, and we have secured quite a few recently. So like I mentioned, we are in a good position for the next couple of years, even without receiving additional new contract. But like as our tender book, we have almost 3 billion worth of tender book ongoing. With a success rate of 30%, and also we believe with our new innovative solution, some of our smart partnership we have developed over the years, we will still continue to strike big contracts in the near future.
So what kind of earnings growth can I expect? Because last year, your earnings per share was 2.5 cents. What kind of numbers can I expect for 2020 or even 2021 then?
We know we will do better this year compared to last year. We give ourselves a target of 10% growth every year.
On that note, thank you for your time today. That was Tan Kay Vin, Executive Director of T7 Global Berhad on The Breakfast Grill. And I'm Wong Xiao Ning for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.